Welcome once again to Resolved. We all encounter difficult issues at times. Life can get tough, and it may seem impossible. But no matter what, and through it all, Jesus Christ is the answer. And through Him, we can rise up and be more than conquerors. Today's message is having a thankful heart. When we have a thankful heart, we become a strong witness. Now, let's join Pastor Tom Porter.
Well, if you have your Bibles, and I trust you do, turn to Psalms 100. Psalms 100, the 100th Psalm. And let's look at the first five verses. Psalms 105. As you're turning, Thanksgiving is a wonderful time of the year. Many years ago, the day of Thanksgiving was established. Psalms 105 verse 1 says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory is in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and His judgments of His mouth. Oh, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him." The Bible says that the heart is regarded as the seat of our emotions and our passions and our attitudes and our moral choices. Its condition is virtually important and vitally important to our spiritual and emotional well-being. Do you have a thankful heart this morning? Are you thankful? As we enter this season of Thanksgiving, many of us face difficulties and hardships. Nonetheless, the Lord can empower us with a spirit of joy and of gratitude. Hard times. Back during the dark days of 1929, a group of ministers and up in the Northeast, all graduates of the Boston School of Theology, they gathered to discuss what they were going to, the topics and how they were going to present Thanksgiving for that Thanksgiving season just coming up. And they came to the conclusion that, you know what, we better not talk too much about Thanksgiving because we're into the Depression. You know, everybody is just disheveled and the soup lines are longer than ever. And, oh, we better not. But for one great theologian that was sitting there, a pastor of a large church in that city, he rallied the young pastors and he said that this was not the time to give mere passing mention to Thanksgiving, just the opposite. This was the time for the nation to get matters in perspective and to thank God for blessings, even in the times of hardships. And as your pastor, I know that some of you are going through some waters and rivers and fires of life. You're going through some tough times. These are tough times in our nation. The most intense moments of thankfulness are not found in times of plenty, but when difficulties abound. Amen. Think of the pilgrims on that first Thanksgiving day. Half of their population of coming over from England, half of them have died. They're men without a country. But still, they gave thanks to God. Their attitude was not for something. Their gratitude was in something, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the same sense of gratitude that led President Abraham Lincoln, when our nation was in a civil war, he established Thanksgiving. When the butcher's list of casualties seemed to have no end and the very nation struggled for survival. Perhaps in your own life right now, intense hardships. You're experiencing your own personal Great Depression. Why should you be thankful? May I suggest three reasons? Number one, be thankful lest you become bitter. Be thankful, lest you become discouraged. We must learn to be thankful, or we shall grow arrogant and be self-satisfied. What motivates you to be thankful? We serve the one true and sovereign God, and He loves us unconditionally. Agape love. God is love. And He forgives us of our sins. He casts our sins as far as the east is from the west. If you got down in Ecuador and you got on the equator and you started trekking on the equator and you started going east, when would you connect to west? You wouldn't. If you start on the equator and you started going west, when would you connect to the east? You wouldn't. That's how far God forgives us of our sins. He casts us into the deepest sea to be remembered no more. And when Satan pulls those sins before our eyes and reminds us of our sins, what we tend to do is go to the Lord and say, Lord, back then when I did that, and the Lord says, excuse me, what'd you do? I don't remember. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What motivates you to be thankful? The Lord has sealed us with the Holy Spirit and adopted us as His children, as we've been studying the last 2 weeks on the Holy Spirit. God equips us with spiritual gifts. He gives them to us. Why? To fulfill the specific plans that He has for you and for me. Well, I don't know if I can be all that God wants me to be. Yes, you can, because He will equip you to be all that you can be. What motivates you to be thankful? Our Heavenly Father is merciful. He's loving and He's good. Another reason is we have the privilege of developing close relationships with others. I don't know about you, but I enjoy friendships. I do. And that's a blessing of God to give us friends. Who's your best friend? Maybe it's your mate. Maybe it's one of your children. That's a blessing. Jesus went to heaven to prepare a place for us, and He intercedes on our behalf. Think about that. That the Holy Spirit takes our groanings and our utterances, or takes our prayers, and we pray in Jesus' name, and the Holy Spirit takes them to Jesus, and Jesus looks at His Heavenly Father, and He's our intercessor. Amen. Oh, the God of the universe. Try picking up the phone and calling the president tomorrow. You have to go through so many hoops, you'll never get it. But we can go to the one that created everybody, the creator of the universe, the most powerful God that there is, the only God. I love this one. Jesus went to heaven to prepare a place for us. I love that. I got to manage a hotel for 4.5 years. By the way, the hotel was built in 1927. Then the crash, the stock market crash, happened. And this group that I was a member of, the Agape Players, we presented Christ through music and drama, and we operated this 11-story hotel downtown Lake Wales, Florida. 3 hotels built at the same time, one in Dundee, one in Lake Wales, one over in beautiful Lakeland, all 3 in Polk County. And all 3, after they were built by people, by bonds, they went under. And they just set like big concrete dinosaurs. And this Christian ministry bought this hotel in Lake Wales, and it became alive. That's what happens when Christians move in. When God moves in, things become alive. It's alive. And I trained the front desk staff, when people had a reservation, when they checked in, I trained them to say, oh, Mr. Smith, we've been expecting you, sir. Doesn't that make you feel good when you go to some place and they go, we've been expecting you? The opposite is, Smith, man, we're pretty booked tonight. Well, I made a reservation. Well, I don't know, sir. I tell you, people have been coming in like crazy. I don't know if I can find your name on this list at all. Well, that puts your heart pressure up, doesn't it? Isn't it great to be able to say, we've been expecting you? And you know that's what's going to happen when you die and you go to heaven. They've been expecting you. Jesus has prepared a place for us. Yeah. Oh, man. I can't wait to see that. Amen. We think about all that we're going through right now, but you think, oh, I don't know if I want to leave this earth. I have my children and everything. When you step into glory, you're going to be thinking, whoa, Why was I having anxiety about coming here? This is one. They prepared it. Well, look at there. There's my name. My name's in the book. Oh, this is going to be great. Hey, that ought to motivate us to be thankful. Don't forget that Jesus is preparing a place for you in heaven. We have the Word of God. Oh, are you thankful for the Word of God? Someday just turn to Psalms 119. That whole chapter, longest chapter in the Bible, that whole chapter is about the Word of God. Oh, it's so special. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I shall hide thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. In what areas, question, in what areas of our lives should we have a thankful heart? Well, Pastor, I'm thankful, but what areas in my life should I have a thankful heart? In worship, we read in Psalms 100, verse 4, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And that's why we're here today, to worship the Lord, to praise him, to sing praises unto him. And then prayer. Philippians 4, 6 says this, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It says, be careful for nothing. That means worry about nothing, pray about everything. You've heard me before. I put on the sign one year. I said, why pray when you can worry? And I got more response out of that sign, people coming in, you got it all wrong. And I said, are you worried about that? Well, yes, I'm worried about it. Well, see my point? And Paul's just saying, we need to worry about nothing. Have you ever thought about nothing? What a word. Nothing. How much money you got? Nothing. It's just all-encompassing. Nothing. But pray about everything. You say, Pastor, does that mean that we are not to face reality? Pastor, does that mean that we are to believe that sin is not real? Are we to believe that the cancer in my body is not real? Are we to believe that getting laid off from my job is not real? That my bills are not real? Am I to ignore all of this? Oh, no. The apostle explains to us that we are to worry about nothing because we must pray about everything. Do you believe prayer changes things? Oh, I do. Fenelon, a writer in the Middle Ages, seems to encompass what Paul meant when he said, pray about everything. Listen carefully. I quote, tell God all that is in your heart. As one unloads one's heart, its pleasures, its pains, to a dear friend. Tell God your troubles that he may comfort you. Tell him your joys that he may sober them. Tell him your dislikes that he may help you conquer them. Talk to God of your temptations that he may shield you from them. Show him the wounds of your heart that he may heal them. Lay bare your indifferences to good, your depraved taste for evil, your instability. Tell him how self-love makes you unjust to others. How vanity tempts you to be insincere. How pride disguises you to yourself as well as to others. Fenelon goes on to say, if you thus pour out all your weaknesses, all your needs, your troubles, there will be no lack of what to say. You will never exhaust the subject. It is continually being renewed. Blessed are they who attain to such familiar, unreserved conversations with God. Brother Porter, I could go to God. I just don't know what to say. I mean, 3 minutes, I'm done. Lord, I need this. And Lord, you know Christmas is coming, and I want the iPod and the iTouch, and I want the iPad, and I want a car, and I want all of this stuff. And God, you know I need that. And for ministry, God, you know I need that. And you, Lord, you know I hurt so much. I have a hangnail, and I just need you to take care of that in Jesus' name. And Lord, that's all I got to say right now, and I'll see you tomorrow. And that's the way a lot of people pray. I could only go 3 or 4 minutes. But if you'll search your heart and pour all your, don't weigh words with God. He knows them already. But if you'll get on your knees before the Almighty God and you'll just start, tell him those sins that so easily beset you. Well, God already knows that. I don't have to bring that up to him. I mean, come to find out, I kind of like him, kind of like to hide him from him anyway. You can't do that. And get with God and just pour your heart out. You will find yourselves in tears. Get real with God in your prayer lives. Worry about nothing but pray about everything. You see, when you go, you talk about a cleansing. When you go to God and you literally pour your heart out to Him, I mean, you just go into the deepest depths of your soul and pour them out to God. It'll be longer than 5 minutes. It'll be a long time. Boy, you'll get up and you'll... That's prayer. That's being with the Lord. And what other areas of our lives should we be thankful? Giving. The Bible says to give with a cheerful heart. And if you're upset about your giving, some would say, well, just be upset, but give it anyway. Pray God will change your attitude. Friendship, Philippians 1:7 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Paul saying this. Oh, he says, man, I love it. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Are you thankful for daily living? Just to get up and be alive. Now, I don't get up like I used to. I roll out of bed now. Somebody said the other day, said, man, I just jumped out of bed. If a burglar hits my house, I'm going to have to say, just a minute. I got a gun. Just don't have it in my hand right now. Hang on, fair's fair. Oh, growing old. But I'm thankful. I'm so thankful that I'm alive. Look at verse 6 and 7. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And then it says, you're rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with what? With thanksgiving. Rooted, built up in him, established in the faith, singular, as you've been taught. And then that ought to motivate us to be abounding with thanksgiving. And then, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, don't need to turn there, but it says, in everything, oh boy, this is the one, in everything, give thanks. Now, Lord, I prayed before my meal. But man, that was terrible. Oh, wait a minute. At least you had a meal. 80% of the world didn't have one last night. Ephesians 5:20 says, give thanks always for all things. All things. And I have come to the conclusion, I have come to say, for the troubles that we go through, the fires that we go through as a church, and every church goes through them. Every church goes through them. It's not just indicative of this church. Every church. Lord, thank you. Teach me. Teach me something through this. I don't like it. Don't want it. Didn't ask for it. But I'm in it. If you'll teach me something for it, it'll be worth something to me. Psalm 62, verse 5. I'll get to it in a minute. So what is the impact of a thankful heart? How will that change you? What's the impact as we close? Godliness, because we are aware of His presence. If you have a thankful heart, you'll think of godliness. I will never leave thee. His presence is always with us. Draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. What is the impact of a thankful heart? Motivation to look for His purpose in our circumstances. Teach me. We need to look at we need to keep Jesus right up front here. We focus on Jesus, and our circumstances are all out here like this. But we stay focused on Jesus and say, Jesus, teach me. I got all these circumstances out here, but don't put circumstances up here. Keep Jesus up front. What is the impact of a thankful heart? Submission to His will, even when we don't understand. Submission to His will, even when we do not understand. Has that ever happened to you? Psalm 62:5 says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectations are from Him. Amen. We just expect God to do something. I'm going to align myself up with God. I'm going to do what He's asked me to do. I don't understand it, but I'm going to do what He's asked me to do. And what happens is, we just say, Lord, I expect You now to do something. A strong witness. When we have a thankful heart, we will become a strong witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. One day, a father, a very wealthy man, wanted to teach his son, about 12 years of age, wanted to teach him something about what it'd be like to be poor. And so he took him out to the country. He said, son, we're going to go, and I want to teach you something, and I want to show you, son, how poor people live. And they spend a couple of days and nights on a farm, which would be considered poor people. And on their return trip, the father asked his son, well, how'd you like the trip? And the son said, Dad, it was fantastic. I really liked it. He said, well, did you see how poor people live? Oh, yes, sir, said his son. Well, so tell me, what did you learn from the trip? And the boy said, you know, Dad, I learned that, you know, we got one dog, they got four dogs. He said, Dad, we got a swimming pool that goes all the way around to the garden. They got a creek that goes infinity, just keeps on going. He said, Dad, we got lanterns that are imported, these lanterns that hang in our gardens at night. Dad, they've got the stars at night. Dad, we go and buy our food, and Dad, they go out in the garden, they pick their food right out of the ground. Oh. He said, Dad, we live on a small piece of land. They've got a horizon. We have servants to serve us, Dad. They serve others. Oh, the dad was just like, wow, this is not working out the way I thought it was going to work out. He said, Dad, we've got walls to protect us. They have neighbors to protect them. Then his son added, thanks, Dad, for showing me how poor we are. Perspective is everything, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing, and it makes you wonder what would happen if we all gave thanks for everything that we have instead of worrying about what we don't have. Cultivating a thankful heart will transform your life, but you'll never be genuinely happy or fulfilled until you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. That's who makes the difference. It's not being thankful about something, it's being thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're thankful in Him. And once you are a believer, the Holy Spirit can enable you to be grateful in all circumstances.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor Tom Porter of Temple Baptist Church in Titusville, Florida. I would like to thank you for joining me in this podcast and bringing the good news that Jesus Christ is the risen Savior. There is no problem too big and no blessing too small when Jesus is the Lord of our lives. I would like to ask you a question. When you die, where will you spend eternity? Will you spend it with Jesus forever or be eternally separated from Him? You know, the Bible says, whosoever calleth upon the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved from their sins. You know, it's God's desire for you to have faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Your sins have separated you from God. You must admit to God that you're a sinner and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Jesus bridges that gap between you on this earth and heaven. Will you accept Jesus as your personal Savior today? It's easier than you think. You can pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I admit to you that I'm a sinner. I realize that you paid the penalty for my sins on the cross, and I want to receive you into my life right now. Save me from my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer with me, then you've been born into the family of God.
Thanks for listening. Resolved is a production of Temple Baptist Church, Titusville, Florida, USA. For notes on this message and others, you can find them at resolved.podbean.com. Make sure you visit our main website at templebc.net. And if you're ever in our area, we hope that you'll come by and see us. Remember, Jesus is Lord. So take care, and God bless you.